Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. I begin with a sequel to the joke I shared 3 weeks ago. So there was a priest driving in the South Bay, a little erratically, and the police pulled him over. And the policeman goes to the window and thinks he smells alcohol and notices an empty bottle in the back seat and says, "Is that an empty bottle of wine?" And the priest said, "Jesus did it again." It's deep. Jesus did it again and again and again for his followers, for all types of people in different villages. He did it again and again, beginning with turning water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. He restored health to the leper. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus did it over and over again. So in this private moment with his disciples, he says to them, "Who do they say that I am? What are people saying about me?" And the disciples probably answered with what they heard. "Well, some think you're John the Baptist, some think you're Elijah, maybe Jeremiah, of course one of the prophets." And Jesus turned to them and said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter, who was often a bull in a china store, said to him, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "That kind of answer comes from God being in you, Peter." And he looked at Peter. And Peter probably looked back at Jesus. And this is where my reflection on this gospel stopped. Looking into the face of Jesus. I would love a description of the face of Jesus. The face is mentioned in the gospels, but Jesus' face is not described. We hear in Matthew 17, "And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun." In Luke 9, "And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed." Luke 9 again, "He set his face to go to Jerusalem." I would love to have heard a description of the face of Jesus. Eusebius is a historian in the very early church, and he wrote a book, "The History of the Church from Christ to Constantine." So Eusebius was in the first centuries of our early church. And Eusebius, in his writing in this history of the church, says that in visiting the catacombs, he saw portraits of Peter and Paul and Jesus. Eusebius also said that he found a statue that was financed by the woman who had the hemorrhage. We don't have very much left from the early centuries of art in the catacombs. And in the first few centuries, until Constantine in 313 wrote the Edict of Toleration, and the church, which had been underground for 300 years because of persecution, now became public. But for the first 300 years, the early Christians needed to blend in. They needed to gather in hiding places, and so they sought out underground caves we call catacombs. And on these cave walls, they put symbols, but symbols that were current in Greek and Roman art, so they wouldn't be noticed. And on some of the doorways of the early Christian, they might have a fish, because that was current in Greek and Roman art, and nobody would have noticed, but other Christians would have noticed that the fish represented Ictus, the son of the living God in Greek. And they also could have had outside their doorway a shepherd. And a shepherd was common artwork in Greek and Rome, so they wouldn't have noticed. But other Christians would have noticed that that shepherd represents Jesus, the shepherd. Also, one of the things for us to remember is that for 2 to 3 generations after Jesus died, our Gospels were orally passed on from mouth to mouth, people talking about Jesus. And it wasn't until 2 or 3 generations later that these first Gospels were written down. So someone wrote a Gospel, someone borrowed it, copied it, passed it on, someone borrowed that one, copied it, passed it on. So over the centuries, our Gospels, our scriptures, our epistles were written down and passed on. There were other documents. Of course there were other documents during that period that were written and passed on. Well, we don't know the original source of a particular document, which is called the Letter of Lentulus. It was finally discovered in the 13th century, this ancient manuscript. And this Letter of Lentulus, the earliest edition is in Latin, but there's 3 later editions in Syriac, Persian, and Armenian. And this Letter of Lentulus is a description of the face of Jesus. In your bulletins today, you have a little piece of paper that has an icon, an image of Jesus's face, with the key question of today's gospel: who do you say that I am? So listen to this Letter of Lentulus. And in the more recent, which is 1,000 years, in the more recent edition of this Letter of Lentulus, there is noted that Lentulus, and we don't know for sure, but this is what is in some editions, that Lentulus was a Roman official during the time of Tiberius Caesar, who happened to be the ruler during the time of Christ, from 14 to 37. So, is this Letter of Lentulus a description from 2,100 years ago? Or did Lentulus write this description from the icons that started being produced after the 3rd century? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? We don't know. But there's something common going on with this image and this letter. And so I read it to you. In these days there appeared, and there still is, a man of great power named Jesus Christ, who was called by the Gentiles the prophet of truth, whom his disciples call the Son of God, raising the dead and healing diseases. A man in stature, middling tall and comely, having a reverent countenance, which those who look upon may love and fear, having hair of the hue of unripe hazelnut and smooth almost down to the ears, but from the eyes in curling locks somewhat darker and shining, flowing over his shoulders, having a parting in the middle of the head according to the fashion of the Nazarenes, a brow smooth and very calm, with a face without a wrinkle or any blemish, which a moderate red color makes beautiful, with a nose and mouth no fault at all can be found, having a full beard of the color of his hair, but a little forked at the chin, having no expression, simple and mature, the eyes gray, flashing and clear. What an awesome description. So this face of Jesus that asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" the disciples looked at. They saw Jesus. But they had to grow in knowing all that Jesus was. And in that moment that Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," Jesus' response, as I said, included, "Peter, God gave this to you to be able to say that. But in this moment, Peter, I want to say to you and to everyone, in this moment, I build a church. And nothing can come against what I am starting." The question, "Who do you say that I am?" is not just a question for an individual. It's a question to a church. In that moment, Jesus created community. But this whole question is all about relationship. Because Jesus was asking, "Who do you say that I am?" And Jesus wanted an answer. So, how do we answer Jesus? St. Francis, the patron of our church, who I assume had a bedrock of Christian belief right from the moment he decided to follow, wasn't necessarily that rooted. It took him also a journey. The day he gave all of his clothes, all of his possessions back to his father in front of everybody in the square at Assisi in front of the bishop, and then turned around and walked into the forest, one of the things Francis did was pray. And in the caves that he used for protection and for places of prayer, one of the things Francis prayed out loud was, "Who are you, God? Who are you, Jesus? And who am I? Who are you and who am I?" So the journey of Francis of Assisi was like our journey. He needed to grow in a relationship in the foundation of who Jesus is. And Jesus said in the Gospels, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." So this relationship is current. It's happening right now with you. Now, about 20 or 30 years ago, I was getting a master's in ministry up at Seattle University. First week, at the end of the first week in this class called Christology, the professor systematically dismantled every childlike notion I had been taught about Jesus. Every childlike notion. And so on that Friday, I felt shaken. And I left the classroom, went out onto the track, began walking the oval and saying out loud, "Who are you and who am I?" And that began a journey of finding an adult faith, an adult relationship with Jesus. So each of us is called to an adult relationship, to let go of the parts of what we think we know about God, to let God be God. So I'd like to invite you to do something with me now. You could either close your eyes or keep them open, but I'd like to sense or picture yourself alone in a church like right now, or outside or at the beach or in a mountain place, a setting of beauty and peace. And you've gone to be alone, or you're sitting here now alone, because you have heavy stuff on your heart and you are challenged and it feels difficult. And you are in this moment feeling alone, hoping that there is a God. And all of a sudden you sense a presence right next to you. And you realize that that presence knows what you're dealing with, knows your challenge, your difficulty, knows what's heavy on your heart. And you feel a shift. So you turn and look at this presence, and it's Jesus. And Jesus looks at you and says, "Who do you say that I am?" In that particular moment, me sitting next to Jesus, feeling known and loved for who I am. At first, I don't know if I would know what to say. But I imagine I would start saying something like Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And then I would probably say, "You know me more than I know myself, don't you?" And Jesus would nod. I think I would eventually say to Jesus, "You are my friend. You are my healer." So this process, this question invites a process of really letting Jesus say to you today, "Who do you say that I am?" And how do you grow in answering that question? Because I would assume, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and because Jesus has given us his Spirit, this is a dynamic relationship, not static. It will keep changing and unfolding and growing as we seek to know Jesus. So this is a challenging gospel, and I hinged this sermon on the one question: who do you say that I am? So deal with it. Deal with that question. And at some point, give your entire life to Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you. Amen.